And yep, okay. So when I am sharing my screen, just so you remember, in Zoom, the videos of your colleagues are always in the strip, either horizontally or vertically, and you can move that strip around your screen if it's in the way. If you'd rather not follow my screen and want to do it yourself, you can exit out. Then when I'm not sharing my screen, it goes back into the big view or into the Hollywood Squares kind of thing. Pull up our dashboard too, just really quick. See if there are any questions about... Oh, I got up a little too early today for my liking, and then it means that my brain just fires a little bit slower.
Okay. Well, you can talk slower because I didn't go to sleep last night and still had to get up, so we'll be on sync.
We'll be, woo-hoo. We'll just sit here and drool. Oh, well, that's not even the right course, so that doesn't help anything. See what I mean? Teach adults. Okay. Okay, so tonight, top of the hour, we'll go ahead and get started. Like I mentioned, Miss Trudy can't join us tonight, and I know that Mel will be right on, and expect Barb to be right on as well. But just to set the course, there, now we can see you, gal. Woohoo! Look at you, figuring it all out. Okay. So tonight, third night, it's about implementation. Some people call it implementation science. Some people talk about fidelity of implementation. I call it getting people to drink our Kool-Aid. So in one way or another, as coaches, as PD providers, as mentors, as faculty, as whatever hat we have when we're hanging out with adults, we're often trying to get them to change a practice, do a practice, tweak a practice, stop doing a practice. And so all of the flipped learning for tonight will always be there. So if you didn't get to it, no problem. But there were several things to read. Bit of our focus will be about habits, but you'll see quickly it kind of goes beyond just habits. But there were several things to read about habits. Tonight, feel free to just talk whenever. You can get a word in edgewise with me and or use the chat. And then always feel free to use our Facebook community. But tonight we're going to talk in this visual of getting to change. We're going to focus on incentives, age, and EQ in kind of, at least in my mind, it's those three things. You'll notice that as we go throughout the four sessions, we don't ever talk about vision, skills, resources, or action plans. And what I've just sort of deduced is that we kind of have those figured out, especially skills, resources, and action plans. That's not something that we often struggle with. But when we face real resistance, it's when we have the black box here, right? Because that leads to resistance. And then I added these two, just saying that they kind of will slow down everything or they'll make things blurry across the board so that it's required. Even if you have everything else, you still need to attend to age and EQ. So those will come up repeatedly, and incentives often do, because I find that one of our biggest challenges is resistance. Not confusion. We kind of know what to do when people are confused. We kind of know how to help people walk away from the ledge. Even false starts, we know how to start again. But resistance continually pokes at us and says, why are people resistant to change? So tonight, just to set the ground, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the three things floating around in my head. And then there'll be lots of opportunities for you guys to talk back at me. But the idea of incentives really got my thinking when I did a recording with Laura Fish the other day. So if you guys don't know Laura, she and I do podcasts on mindfulness and on teaching with the brain and mind. And we just recorded another really good podcast on Friday where we talked about humans but children in particular, but tonight we'll talk about adults, that when our three basic needs aren't met, we struggle. And so what I wanted to draw your attention to on the screen, if you can see it, is the underlined phrase. Oftentimes when people write about habits or fidelity of implementation or resistance or implementation science, we give an awful lot of credit to humans as having conscious control or conscious awareness. We then take that and push that down to children. So there's a lot in this book that I'm reading now on the importance of being little, where she talks about that we've taken sort of very adult constructs and pushed them on children. And this is an example where we think because adults have conscious choice that children are. So what I mean by that is that, like, Laura and I are talking about this little kid, Jacob, and a teacher says, well, I don't know, guys. I understand that the child's responding to stressors. I understand that they may not have a prefrontal cortex, but yesterday he could do it and today he can't. So I think he's manipulating me. Anybody ever hear that story before? Well, Laura's point was, are you always able to do your top game, right? Nancy and I were just saying, it's going slower than it's supposed to. I can't think. I can't get word retrieval. It's not because I'm manipulating you guys or trying to make you feel sorry for me. I literally am not at full capacity today. And what's really interesting about another book that I'm reading about how we have feelings and thoughts and ideas that are mostly unconscious before they're conscious, is that we give too much credit to adults and to children that they're making a conscious choice, that much of their actions, most of our actions, are automated. And it's not just a habit. It's actually an evolutionary skill that we've honed our ability to not be aware of. Like, think about it. If you had to, like, I just scratched my forehead. If I had to think about each muscle that I had to move in my body to bring my hand up to make that action, I'd never be able to do anything. But I wasn't even aware that my body knew that my forehead itched or what I could do about it. So what Laura and I talked about is that humans have three basic needs: safety, satisfaction, and connection. And if you generalize that to adults, you will see the same pattern, and that it's roughly aligned to the three parts of the brain. So safety is that basement brain or that brain stem. The satisfaction is that, I can't point to it because it's in the middle of my brain, it's that middle earth area, which is that limbic sort of system, which is really connected to upstairs and downstairs and left and right. And then connection, which really starts to form in the cortex, in the prefrontal cortex. So when we see resistance, when we see people not able to do things, my first message I just want to kind of throw out there for you to consider is they may not be doing it consciously, and they may not have their three basic needs being met: safety, satisfaction, and connection. And so the operating systems that Rick Hansen and others talk about is that it's kind of like your body knows what to do in certain circumstances, what to turn on, what to turn off, what to enact, what not to enact, and that if I don't have my basic needs met, I'm going to go into that reaction versus conscious responding. So if you have a lot of yeah buts, I've tried that, it'll never work, all of that should be a red flag to you that someone's three basic needs aren't met and that their body is somewhat, or brain, is being hijacked, and that they are not able to choose which operating system to enact. They're in a habit mode or an autopilot. Does that make sense? You have a question or thought? Hi, Mel. Anything, because I'm going to kind of front load this with three big ideas. This is just one of three. So if you want to restate it back or ask a question or say a story where you've seen it as well, And what Laura and I talk about is that these basic needs, if you can see my notes down here, you can see it as well, are different from what we usually talk about, the three functions of behavior and or the so that freeze or flight or faint, that those are all still at play, but this is even a more elevated or sophisticated way of looking at the why behind the behavior. It's not just that very primitive, there's a function, and that the basement brain is in fight, flight, freeze, or faint mode. This is a kind of an elevated way to look at why we do the things we do, and the storyline is we may not have as much conscious choice, and that's by evolution and by design, that we should be working unconsciously, but it also means that more often than not, we're working from our brainstem or our limbic system or even our basal ganglia, letting it decide how to respond in a situation. It's not a conscious decision. And if anything, maybe that gives us a little bit of empathy when we feel so frustrated and want to shake some building principles that may not drink our Kool-Aid. Okay, got that one? All right. So, second big idea for tonight. So that was why I called that one incentives. I thought, okay, if my basic needs aren't being met, somebody needs to get my needs met in order to incentivize me to be able to operate from a prefrontal cortex perspective. The second challenge we have is age, and we've shown this a couple of times, but I just feel like we need to keep saying it because most of our colleagues are not young. Some are, but then it's the other side. They don't have a prefrontal cortex that's fully formed. So social emotionally, they're not very strong. So, you know, Mel came up with a couple weeks ago a really good thing that our age brings us, the wisdom and the maturity and the self-reflection and the impulse control. Yes, but when we want us to change a behavior or to, you know, as our little habit friends talk about, do a different response, it actually takes more effort. So this image, again, is showing that as we age, the plasticity of the brain decreases, meaning that it's going to take more physiological effort. The more physiological effort, you can take that word and call it a stressor. That means each time you're hot, now I'm hot. Now I'm cold, now I'm hot, now I'm cold. That's taking effort on your body. And every time your body has to work to find its happy spot, the more we're taxing and filling up our capacity to use our upstairs brain, the more likely we're going to not have our basic needs met, the more likely we're going to start responding in a way that is a lower basement brain. So you have to be patient with older people, not because we're slower, but because it actually takes more effort. And if you push me, I'll more easily get into my basement brain, which brings me to the third thing about our emotional intelligence. And Mel saw me show this just a little bit ago, and you guys have seen it before, but I put it in the chat. I'll hit enter if you can see this. Oh, or I didn't. Let me try again. Maybe you'll get it twice, three times. Well, who knows? Did anything come in the chat? It just looks funny. This is the I'll try one more time. I don't know. I'll go here and do it. This is on your dashboard. And so this comes from the yes brain. And so the argument that I'm making, so the first argument was that when we face resistance, the reaction by the person may be more unconscious than conscious. And that's quite a bit of evidence to suggest that's the case. Second argument I'm making is when we face resistance is that the older we are, the harder, more effort it takes. And that means that I better have my basic needs met so I have a reserve to account for these stressors. And then the third part is that I need a high emotional intelligence to be able to be looking forward to change. So Tina and Dan talk about the yes brain. And I like this quote here. It says, the yes brain is able to find joy and meaning even in the midst of life's challenges. If you're the opposite, if you spend time fight, flight, freeze, or faint, you can't listen, you can't make decisions, you can't connect or care about other people, you're like, screw you, right? Think about a fight you got in with your significant other and you're just like, whatever, you know? That was your no brain. And so whenever you have an adult in front of you who is on this no brain kind of list, our job is to find a lifeline or strategies that help them have their yes brain. But the argument that I was sharing with the Grantwood AEA folks earlier today is that when we're older, right, we already know it's going to be harder, we've also spent more of our lives engaged in no brain activities. That means those neural pathways are much stronger. And so if you listen to Dwig's habits, he talks about the strengthening of those neural pathways. And the more times we spend in environments that are focused on rules and fear and compliance, the stronger those ruts get. And so not only are we older, but that's been reinforced and feedback has been given so that that's a really strong place that we operate. Okay? So those are my three big throw them at you, tired brain arguments for tonight. So I see Barb jumped on as well. So great. And again, Tina's not jumping on tonight. So let's open up for a little discussion. I've got some discussion prompts on the slide here. If you want to take on one of those and share a story, if you want to just react to the yes brain handout, or if you want to find your age on this grid and feel happy or sad, or if you want to think about how much do I feel responsible to make sure that people's three basic needs are met so that I can incentivize them to drink my Kool-Aid. So I just want to open it up for some discussion before I get into some methods. So this is all the mindset before the methods. So the mindset is recognizing that incentives and habits and age and EQ all play a role.
Christy, I think it's so interesting because when you were talking about the three basic needs and thinking about where children are coming from, their brainstem, their limbic system, and we have to kind of prime them to be in their prefrontal cortex, that is exactly what we teach teachers about children, right? When they are reacting, where are they at? If they're in their brainstem, there's not much we can do. And then once they come down, we connect in that limbic phase, and then we can move to teaching new skills. So it was just like kind of that aha of we teach that to teachers. We talk about that. We talk about that exact same system for children. And so it just always, I don't know why I'm surprised about that.
Me too, Mel. Every time I'm like, shocking parallel.
Duh. Like, right? Duh. We know this about children. Why don't we think about this when we frame adults as well?
And then it's just even worse, right? Because we're old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not we. I. We. Gail's like, I'm right there. Yeah. Okay. And it's interesting because if you've gotten very far in the yes brain, I know Barb's reading it and I know Nancy's reading it. I don't know if the others of you are, but I didn't know this when I made that handout because I just was like super excited about the book. Well, as you read the book, every chapter, Dan and Tina do the parallel to the adult brain. And they have questions and things for you to consider about your own brain, which is not shocking given their work, but it's like, duh, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anything at all, guys. I don't mean to be so open-ended, but you guys have such rich backgrounds that there's no need to always be listening to me. But, you know, was there something in the flipped learning or one of the podcasts that struck you, or just in your own work? Because I know many of you have been kind of on this journey for a while.
Hey, Christy.
Yeah.
The second one, the role that you see habits playing in the work I do.
Yeah.
I am working with a teacher, well, working with the co-teacher, and we're trying to get the SDI put into her classroom, and she is not having it. She automatically goes into her, I call it the animal brain.
Yes, the reptilian, yeah.
Yeah, she automatically goes in there. She's defensive. She doesn't want to change. You know, it's just... So I listened to Charles Duhigg, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can use some of that. And then reading the handout, the yes brain and no brain, I'm thinking, okay, how can I get that into this so that I can hopefully at least change a little bit? I don't want to change her whole thing. I just want to start little and work my way up. So we'll see how that goes in the next week or so.
Yeah, but I think what's great is just the awareness, right? That we're aware that we have to go slower, or we have to make it smaller, or we have to account for, instead of just getting annoyed that she's being defensive for the thousandth time. Yeah. I feel like we can approach it with a little bit more compassion and empathy when we really understand what's happening in our brains. Right.
And maybe I think, find out why she's so sensitive.
Absolutely.
What the problem is. So.
And I think like with that project, June, like our teachers didn't get a choice. Like so often teachers get to pick what PD they go to, and they get to pick some things that they get to do. At least in our AA with SDI, it wasn't like someone said, do you want to be part of the state project? It was, they, at least in our AA, they were just told you're doing this. And I know our, teachers that we're on year two with, it took probably 6 to 8 months of the first year before they found something that connected with them. And then it was so much easier to get that buy-in once we found that one thing that they each liked about it or that they felt connected to. So maybe it's finding out of all the things that she's been learning, what is it that, I don't know, what is it that gets her excited or she has emotional connection that you can build on from there?
Well, the first year teacher, they just started this co-teaching. So the gen ed teacher is the one that I'm struggling with, and they're not required to do any of this. So I need to go find out what her concerns are and then possibly go to administration and say, what can we do together to get this to work? Because they want it, but...
And I would say in a co-teaching model, it's not about... I mean, everyone's required. If we're doing this, then really everyone's required. It's not just the ECSE teacher when you're in a co-teaching model. It takes two people.
Yeah. Yep, and I agree with that. And it's sort of like, but I need to get the administration in there and say, yep, this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I have that support from not just the principal, but from the special ed director. So I really need to get in there and, you know, the curriculum director, get in there and say, okay, we're struggling here. I need your support. What can we do to make this work?
Okay. And I think what I'm reflecting on, June, as you're talking, I'm just going to go back to this question. How much time have these adults, whether it's the curriculum director, the special ed director, the early ed teacher, how much time have they spent? And my argument is if they've spent time in education since the late 80s, they have spent the majority of their adult lives around rules, standardization, compliance, and fear.
Actually, the special ed director is thinking of retiring the end of this year.
Yeah.
And the curriculum director, I'm going to say she's been in education 20, 30 years.
Right.
So they all know that, but.
But we also, we just know that education these last decades have been all about standards and, you know, we're going to sanction your school or shut it down and do a charter school. I mean, it's just all that fear, right? So we've really honed a no-brain leadership, you know, at all levels.
Yeah, and this district especially does that. It's just seriously back up a little bit. Yep.
Okay.
Well, then I think, you know, like in ours, because we have a similar situation, June, we go to this co-teaching model, which isn't bad when you think about having an ECSE teacher and gen ed teacher, you know, partnering and co-teaching, but we do no talking about teaming. We do no training on co-teaching. We do no support for that.
Exactly.
And throw people in a room and say, good luck.
Yeah.
And we wonder why it's not beautiful every day.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened here. It's like, we had a five-year plan. The schools district asked the AEA to have a five-year plan for them. And then the curriculum director said, nope, they're going to start this in August. And it's like, this was in May, and the teachers had no idea till August who they were even going to be with.
Yes, all that stuff that just makes it horrid, right?
Oh, it's a mess.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start using some of this stuff and see what I can... And I'm not expecting any change, you know, great change, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah. But I think being clear that that's your expectation too lets people breathe. Like, okay, we're just taking one step together. We don't have to have it all figured out tomorrow, even though that's been the pressure and the assumption is you'll all have it figured out.
Probably not. It's me they're working with, Christy. It's me. It's going to take a while. I'm at that old end of the graph, okay?
You keep saying that. Nancy, were you going to say something?
Yeah. Well, as you guys were talking, you know, one of the things that I read the stuff on the tiny habits and tried to make some sense of that. And it all makes logical sense from a behavioral standpoint. Yeah, break it down, task analyze it, make it smaller so that it's more manageable. But as you guys were talking, I was thinking like, and I'm assuming SDI stands for specially designed instruction.
Yes, sorry, yes.
Okay. But to me, that's like when we did and are doing program-wide PBIS. I mean, that's a big change in many ways. And so you're asking people to make really big, big changes. So first of all, it goes back to buy-in. And then how do we break that into tinier habits or whatever you want to call it, smaller pieces, so that we can get some buy-in and also get that participation and seeing the value? Because that's, I think, where those flight, fight, faint, freeze, no brain things start to go up.
They just will. That's what's going to happen.
And then you get, and as a trainer, I think ours go up because they're not, you know, cooperating or seeing the value of us. And so, I don't know, that's kind of where my head was going.
Yep.
So.
And I think that, you know, as I read any of these things, you know, it's looking at the whole person now and saying, look, if I can really understand that for so long we've just given you compliance or we've just given you the form or we've just given you the whole initiative, that we haven't really thought about what does it take to do a new practice? What does it take to have a new mindset? What does it take to have a yes brain? If we haven't done that work, it doesn't matter how small we chunk the content. That's all we task analyzed, right? We just broke it down until we just kept training the foundation over and over, louder in the hallway, or bring in people with more degrees, right? That didn't solve it, because the problem was that we weren't doing the whole adult learner. We weren't thinking about the role that habits play in our day to day. And so my point tonight is we still haven't gone far enough to think about how much of what people do is unconscious to them. Not just a habit like we think of, like I got a bad habit. It's just much of our life has to be in unconscious realm or we couldn't function. So evolutionarily, our body is set up to take over so much of what we have to do in a day that's a lot to change. We have to bring it to our awareness. But to bring it to our awareness brings to the prefrontal cortex. So you see how these are all interrelated. And it's going to be harder for those of us who are older, because those neural pathways haven't been formed in the early years when it was easy to form them. Okay. I don't know, Barb, I didn't hear from you, and I'm not sure that you can hear us. Okay, I just want to make sure that you're on. Okay, I can see her name, but I can't hear you, Barb, and I didn't get a chat from you, but I'll keep going. So that's our mindset, right? The mindset is that we have to think about the whole learner, which of course has been our theme for the last 3 weeks. So when we are thinking about implementation science or fidelity of implementation, or as I say, getting people to drink our Kool-Aid, I just sort of came up with this statement that our work in delivering professional development is ultimately about changing habits. It's about changing things that are an existing practice and shaping it in some way, either removing it, adding to it, finessing it, whatever it might be. And so I wanted to offer up a couple of things you could try. Some of these you might have stumbled upon or explored in your flipped learning, and some of them might be new. So this is the first one, and I know why you didn't get my chat, because I was just sending it to Barb only, not to everyone. So Barb got it 800 times, but you all didn't. So this is another handout. See if that came in the chat or if it went somewhere weird again. I do not know what is going on with, you know what the problem is? It's a user issue, I think. How do you hit send? Can you just, okay, there it goes. All right, try that URL that'll take you to a handout, and I'll put it on my screen. So if you just want to watch on my screen. So this is a little activity you can do. Anybody seen this one before? Not sure. So this comes from, it's kind of a mixture of things, but my friend Crystal, the one that wrote the book on the mindfulness habits, which you can download a free copy of that book on our dashboard. It's to take a phrase and work through, either in a coaching situation or in a small group or a large group. We've done it all kinds of ways, and we're going to practice it here together in a minute. And what you do is you ask people to make a list of things that they say. Now, I did this one as an example of doing it with practitioners, so teachers and teaching assistants. Something that they always say about challenging behaviors, or something they always say about writing IEP goals, because of course I always talk about those two topics. So you would say, fill in these blanks. I always, I never, I have a habit of, I can never. So you might give them an example. I always struggle to find a way to help keep Sam from acting out. I never know what to do when Kate has a meltdown. I have always written the criteria as a percentage. The district will never allow me to write an outcome the way I want. Have you ever heard phrases like this? Like 5 minutes ago, Christy. So you ask people, whatever your topic is, I just gave you some examples for two that we talk about a lot, challenging behaviors, but let's take specially designed instruction, right? So June, you would say to this this co-teacher around co-teaching, around SDI, write a response to these things and use these kinds of words. So you could just do I always and do five of those. I always struggle to do specially designed instruction. I always think that kids with disabilities are more work. So you brainstorm with them this mentality, and then you ask them to shift that, and you transform it, and you remove this stuff, I can never, I have a habit of, I never, and you use the phrase up until now or right now. Make sense? So watch what happens. Up until now, I've struggled to find a way to keep Sam from acting out. right now, I don't know what to do when Kate has a meltdown. Can you feel it already? What is it that you think you feel when I read this? Right now, I use percentages as my go-to criteria. Up until now, I haven't found a way to convince the district of a different way. What do you feel? Do you know?
There's hope to change it.
Yeah. So it's another example of triggering the positive emotional attractor that we talked about last week. It's just another way to break that cycle in the brain to feel like we're operating from fear, hopelessness, a can't do mindset, a no brain. And all you have to do is literally replace the phrase. So I do this all the time. So whenever I have a negative thought, which is a constant thought, I will say, up until now, I've struggled to not drink a lot of beer. I didn't say I was going to change my behavior. I just wasn't being critical of myself for a moment. You see? And it feels good, right? Like, up until now, I haven't really quite figured that out. Okay, maybe tomorrow. Probably not, but maybe. And so it was so lovely because when we think about this, it just adds this level of opportunity. So a couple weeks ago, I was meeting with a colleague that was in a mastermind group, and we had learned this skill. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And she said, well, up until now. And she's like, oh, I did it. I said it. I said up until now. And all of her colleagues were looking there like, you're crazier than we thought. But she knew that she had made a change. She had gone down a different path. Her habit of usually saying, transition suck, my, you know, early access people suck. Instead, she was saying, up until now. And so it was really great to see her do that. So this is just one way that Crystal, my friend Crystal, suggests we try it. So you guys want to try one? Anybody have one idea that they want to say? Either, I'll give you another example real quick. So we were doing a deep dive. My friend Lisa, she said I could share this. She says, I have a habit of worrying about other people's habits. That was great. I'm like, that's super honest. She said, up until now, I've had a habit. So then she started to mix them. I always worry about other people's habits. So like she would get shark music because they suck so bad. So she just made her list out of other people's habits. And I thought that was pretty clever. So so what are your thoughts? Got one?
I really like this. I think I want to use it. I hope that's okay.
No, you're supposed to. Yeah.
Okay.
You're supposed to.
Well,
the model demonstration.
And again, old brain. Old brain, Christy. Old brain.
Okay, June. Yeah. So, how will you try it? Do you think?
Actually, I think I'm going to try it on that teacher.
Okay.
Kind of go from there.
Topic be specially designed instruction, co-teaching. What will
co-teaching?
Okay.
I think it'll be co-teaching. Okay. See how we go with that. I think she wants to do what's right for the kiddos. I don't think she knows how.
Okay.
What's my first step to make this work?
Okay. So she might say, I never have been trained how to co-teach or work with kids with disabilities. I can never figure out how to work with these kids that have such big needs.
Yeah.
It would be a truth, right?
It would be. And I think that's where she can go with it. Yeah.
And so then we can help her say, up until now, or right now, I struggle with knowing how to meet the needs of kids on IEPs.
Yeah.
And then just have her, you know, if she feels like that felt better to say it, put it on her, you know, desktop or plan it around a room, but it also just says that, yep, that's right. Let's not keep saying it to ourselves. Let's switch that habit.
Let's get it out there.
Okay. Anybody else have one? All right. So this is, you can change it, morph it, use it, but the idea is to take the, whatever the topic is, PBIS, IEP writing, co-teaching, being able to implement something you've asked them to implement, whatever that it is, and just kind of get it out and then say, sorry, Barb, I keep muting you because there's a bit of feedback and I want you to be able to talk. I should check to see if she's tried to email me. Just let me check real quick because if she tried to get me a different way. Okay.
Sorry, no. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can.
I've been in my car and I've been listening.
Oh, okay.
I feel a little bit voyeuristic. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I just was worried that you were like stressing out trying to make it work and it wasn't working.
But now I'm on here, but I'm going to mute myself again. So thank you. It's a great conversation today.
Okay, good. We're glad you're here.
Thanks.
Okay, so there's your one method, right? So that's your up until now idea about how to help people bring some awareness to a habit, but not feel like you have to solve it and fix it for them. You're just giving them that one step that they can take to think differently. And that's just by changing the phrase. The other, and I dumped one of these in your Facebook today. Just thought, as we go over, as we go across time together, I just want to give you lots of different things to look at and different ways to think of things. And so I kind of get overwhelmed when I look at some of these charts and I can go, oh, a boy totally made that. You know, it's like that, I don't know where I am. I need a, you are here. Okay. But I thought, you know, multiple means of representation. One of these charts might be a good talking point to somebody whose brain kind of works like this. And you could actually walk through. The biggest thing I wanted to draw your attention to in either of these graphics or in the things that you read is that I want people to spend a little bit more time thinking about, and again, to Mel's point about shocking, is what motivates them. When Mel asked June, you know, what part of SDI might this teacher be kind of excited about? I think we just too often don't talk about what would you want to do? What would you like to do? What would you enjoy learning about? So it's a tie back to last week where we thought about choices, but I want you to see it now in another way about how powerful it is that we let people have things that bring them a little bit of joy. It doesn't have to be this really strict, you never get to have beer again mentality. You can tell what time it is in Ohio. So the other thing I wanted to bring to your attention, because so many of our misguided, as I'm learning more and more, so many of our misguided approaches to development came from Skinner's work. I don't discount the idea of behavioral learning principles or learning theories in general. I haven't gone that far to give that up. But I'm also recognizing how limited a behavioral perspective is in terms of how complex humans are, that this idea of that we're blank slates that are completely controlled by our external is just as bad as thinking that we're a blank slate and, you know, it's like all genetics or all environment, or it's like it doesn't embrace Parker Palmer is what I'm trying to say. So it's really like Laura said in our call last week, we're Hondas, not, we're humans, not Hondas. And then I called it, we're Hyundais. She's like, no, we're, well, but she was trying to say that we're so complex. Like even a car is really complicated, but humans are much more than that. So when I look at these, as much as they overwhelm me, it reminds me of the complexity that I'm asking the people to engage in. And what struck me was this idea of reward, whether we call it reward or consequence or motivation or whatever it is. My aha and my parallel, Mel, that you were having, I had it again, that I'm not closing the loop. I always talk about teachers not closing the loop in a learning. I, in helping support adult learners, am not giving near enough attention to the closing of the loop, to the reward part of it, to the feedback part of it, and not feedback in terms of evaluation, right or wrong, gold star, but in that this part of the formula. So I'm kind of rambling because it's kind of new in my prefrontal cortex, so it's not coming out eloquently. But I guess what I wanted you to do, if some of this work seemed heavy, or if you looked at these graphs and were like, I guess I just wanted you to kind of hone in on closing that loop is really important to getting to a change in practice, just like it is when we're working with children, that we give people feedback, that we make sure there's some sort of reward, and that that's built upon what the adult wants, not what we think the adult wants.
I was, when you were saying that, Christy, it spoke to me, because we've been really, in our bigger PD, where we have lots of teachers, we have them grouped in small groups where they come in and the first thing they do is reflect on whatever they went home and tried, maybe a new practice or a new strategy. And they all come back and have time in their small group, maybe five people, to reflect on how it went.
Yes.
And I think we're trying, and I think that's where we're trying to get at that reward, was that they, I mean, I'm trying to process this, because we want to give them feedback in a safe environment, but also get at when we're trying to get teachers to change a practice or change a strategy or try something new, it has to be part of their routine and they have to feel good about it. Otherwise, it's not going to stick, and we know that. You're going to go back to what is natural in those moments of stress or
the habit we've already created and reinforced.
Yeah, so how do we get to that reward? So I'm thinking about self-reflection and sharing out about how it went or what went well or what I didn't like, and so they really are able to kind of even process through whatever it is we're asking them to do. I don't know.
I know, I'm with you. It's like it's emerging of an idea, right?
Yeah, I like it though. This is really, really cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Much to do in this, like every time I listen to it or read it, whether it's the Tiny Habits or the, you know, just implementation science in general, it just blows my brain that we ever get any kind of change, because it's just so complicated, you know? And then we're not talking one person, we're talking one person in a community. So to June's point about the even just the co-teaching, but then the co-teaching is in a district, and the district's in a region, and then the region's in a state, and it's just like,
But until now.
But yeah, right? Up until now, it's, but, right? Yeah.
Well, and when we think about, I mean, I think the other part is we have to figure out ways for teachers to feel good that they're, when they are making changes, to feel good about things they're doing, because right now the only way we assess teachers
is
on student outcome, and our student outcome data is stupid. Sorry. Up until now, our student outcome data hasn't been very good. So maybe someone needs a better assessment out there. I don't, but I think it is such a hard gig to be a teacher.
Yes.
You know, like they know they're impacting kids. They see the changes every day. And that's the part that we want to like embrace and hang on to, because the goal that we use in Iowa, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, I'll get off my box now.
No, it's okay. I think it's really important, and I had to catch myself tonight when we were in our coaching session, Mel, with your team, because I don't want to publicly shame teachers. I don't want to be one more voice telling them they're not enough, or leaders, or parents, or myself, right? I want to acknowledge that we've got work to do, but I also want to recognize that we're asking them to do some really difficult things that are probably impossible, really. You know, prevent bullying, prevent suicides, and teach reading, and make sure the kid's not hungry, and speak 8 languages, and we're going to, like, show everybody that you're good or bad.
And in preschool, you're going to do that in 3 hours a day, 4 days a week.
Right.
Good luck.
Okay. So I guess where I wanted to come back to, I guess, on that one was that once again, our job is, as often as we can, as much as we can, how do we trigger the positive emotional attractor? How do we have hard conversations? How do we have honest conversations? How do we teach content? Whatever it is. But if we don't help people work from a place of strength, what good are we doing? So the other method, if you will, that I wanted to share with you guys tonight, I think I may have shared it in piece or part before, but I think all of our brains, June reminds us, doesn't mind hearing it again. Why do I struggle? Like, I have no problem thinking about strengths of children, but strengths of adults kind of annoys me sometimes, especially if that person annoys me. So already I'm in the basement brain trying to get to a place of change, and I can't even see your strengths because you're annoying, right? So I can hear myself not working from a place of the triggering the positive emotional attractor. So one of the things we do in a very benign way is we do needs assessments. We do them all the time in trying to prepare for professional development, whether we're going to do a new course or have a focus group or have a family gathering or a Monday PD, we go, oh, we should do a needs assessment. So what I learned a couple of years ago from a colleague of mine here in Ohio, Tina Ugrin, and it comes from appreciative inquiry, I forget his name, Cooper Ryder, something like that, from Case Western. It's appreciative inquiry. We call it assets and opportunities. Gail, I muted you just for a second because there was a little bit of feedback, so hopefully you didn't want to say something. and this is... I think I shared some stuff either on the blog or on the dashboard. I can go back and look. And it was kind of some older stuff branding wise. If you come across it, it was when I was still branding stuff with B2K logo, but still good stuff. So this from appreciative inquiry, your other method for tonight beyond our, so let me just recap. We had the up until now, and thank you, Barb, for the prompt and Melanie for modeling it. That's your one method. Your second method is to start thinking a little bit about the reward part. So as you go back to these graphs and back to the work around habits, I'd like us all to think a little bit more about the reward part or the feedback, because I don't think we've given it enough attention. And then your third method tonight is to trigger the positive emotional attractor. And instead of doing needs assessments, we do what's called assets and opportunities assessments. That's a mouthful because I'm still an academic that's recovering. So if anybody comes up with a clever name, you let me know. And ask cannot be the clever name. But assets and opportunities assessment. And so this is, we've done this with students. So if you're teaching a pre-service class and you want to develop a syllabus and a course, if you are doing a program evaluation and you want to check out that, if you're going to do professional development, if you're going to do a book club, if you're going to do a coaching, right? There's lots of different scenarios that we find ourselves. And so there's this if, then. The if triggers the positive emotional attractor. So it's sort of like Sorry, the then will actually trigger it, but the if is what you want to know, what you want to uncover, what you want to get at. But you'll see aspects of the positive emotional attractor in it, because there's always about their goals, their vision, their priorities. So it's about them and their view on things. So that's where the positive emotional attractor, but the asking of the type of question that you see in the then column is the what actually triggers the PEA. So if I am going to do professional development and I send out a survey or I post something and want to get feedback on a poll, if I say, as a professional in your field, what would you like to accomplish as it relates to specially designed instruction within the next year? So if I ask June's teacher, you know, as a professional, what would you like to accomplish as it relates to co-teaching in the next year, the next 3 months, and the next 30 days? That, just that question, even if she's from a no-brain, which I always have to laugh, no-brain zone, unless she's too far gone, like if she's in her reptilian brain and on the floor drooling. But if you can get in there, this will already put her in a better place. If you want to know about somebody's goals, then you would ask them, if we were to break apart what you want to accomplish or strengthen, what would short-term actionable steps that you would identify? If you want to help people set priorities, then you ask, sort your goals in terms of things that you have control over, things that you can influence, and things that are not in your control. And in that not control, you might have them use that up until now. Up until now, I haven't been able to vote for a president that actually should be president. Just up until now. If I want to identify their strengths, right? Gifts, talents, contributions, so forth. Ask them to reflect on their strengths that will help them accomplish their goals. So it's almost like that PDA plus. It's really not just what are your strengths, but how will you use those strengths to accomplish your goals? Do you see how you made that connection for them? So it's not just praise, you're strong, you're a good organizer. How will being a good organizer help you be a better co-teacher? You see how that already elevated it one more step? So these can be interwoven, like once you know their goals, you figure out their strengths, and then you bring them back to full circle. If you want to identify opportunities for change or growth, we know that, then what do you could say to them, what do you see as areas for you to learn or grow that would help you accomplish your goals? Do you see how that's different already? It's not, what do you need to learn? What thing could you do better, lady? But back to your goals this year. I want a calm classroom. I want a peaceful classroom. I want kindergarten teachers to think I'm a good teacher. I want my kids to do well on the fast. I want to, whatever theirs is, right? Then what do you think you could learn or grow this year to help you achieve that goal? And then lastly, if you want to help figure out what supports they might need, you'd say, if you could have one tool in your toolbox, one piece of new information or one new skill, let's say I had a magic wand, what could I grant for you? And she would probably say, a new co-teacher. She probably would, right? And so, you know, you have to be ready to hear things that you may not want to, and don't let that trigger and put you in the basement brain, you know, and be ready for it. Like if you anticipate that, then how do you come back? So these are called assets and opportunities assessment. Comes from appreciative inquiry out of Case Western. And there are these if-then things that allow you to ask questions that will trigger the positive emotional attractor. And not the John Deere kind. All right, reactions, thoughts, questions?
Do we have this in a handout?
Let's go look. We do, Nance? Is it on the landing page?
I didn't see it in a handout, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, it doesn't.
I have it marked as number 4, which doesn't necessarily
Helpful.
But let's see.
Let's look for it together.
Number four is the read this blog about identifying strengths link. That's number four.
I love it.
That's called making little no, I'm kidding.
This one right here, right? So let's go there.
Yes, that's it. And the second page is where the chart is.
And then there's the chart. But I think I also sent it to you guys. I'm just going to go check Facebook. Did you follow that breadcrumb trail, Mel?
I thought I did. And
let's
I did.
Do it one more time.
Yeah, let's just see if we, because I would love it as a handout.
Yes, there is a handout.
Okay, so it's just
Got to find it. So as a starting place, you can, I got so much stuff open. Sorry, guys. Let's close a few things. So if you go to the blog, you can click on this. It's an image, and you could save it. That would be old school clunky. There really is a handout someplace. And I got to think where I shared it, if not with you all, who I shared it with. And that's not you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I could have missed it, but I don't remember.
Well, I'm only giving you 800 million things.
Well, I mean, that's normal for you.
I will find it and I will post it. I'll show you. It's let's see.
Because it is awesome and I really do want to use it.
Well, and I have like a whole 5-part blog series on this, but it's from my old website. And so I'll just get over myself and give it to you guys because I have a whole, I have one for each thing. I got to just figure out where all that is. Like if you want to do it for students, like for each of those if-thens, I have a whole blog written about it. So let me find it and figure out where I posted it. And then I'll make it clearer on our dashboard. This is another one. If you haven't done this one, have you guys seen this before? The Thrive activity? What were you asking me, June? Oh, if that... yes. Anything I share in the chat or on my screen, I'll always, after the fact, go make sure it's on our dashboard. And then on your dashboard, you'll have it forever. So for right now, I'll make sure that the one that June's going to try, which is this one, is easily downloadable on our dashboard. And then for Mel, I will find all my resources about the assets and opportunities. It'll just not be pretty and it may have some broken links, Mel, but you can at least read about it and learn about it because I have a whole big chart, like a 5-part blog series on it.
Yeah, don't worry about if it's pretty, but yes, okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're very welcome. And so then the Thrive activity, which how I got to here was I was on number four, like Nancy said, which is the quick way to get from identifying needs to identifying strengths. So I talk about what I just told you guys about not doing needs assessments, but doing assets and opportunities assessments. There's the short version of the table down here. Is the Thrive. This one actually takes you, the second one, the blog about what we control is also a good activity that has a download about how to, I'm just waiting for it to do it. I always sing Kenny Rogers, you know, when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away. You guys know that? Yeah, this is a whole activity that's really good to do during PD, and people have to make 3 columns about what they have absolute control over, what they can influence, and what they don't have control over. And so while you're delivering PD, if something is a yeah, but, or I can't, or we couldn't, or I don't know how, they have to classify that in the 3 categories. I can control it and change it. I can influence it by speaking up, or I, up until now, had no control over it. So that's another thing you might want to take a peek at. But Thrive, this is a fun one that we've done before, and I won't walk you through it. I won't read it to you because of the time. I'll let you do it, but it's downloadable from the Strengths blog, and it's an activity that really kind of built upon, at the time I was reading Sir Ken's work around talents. And so I made an activity using the word thrive. And so people have to identify their talents, their habits, resources, interests, virtues, and their elements. The elements also comes from Sir Ken's work too. People struggle with this mightily. A woman in Alaska, we did it the very first activity, like a icebreaker, and she said, I don't like this. I'm not going to do this. I can't spend 2 days with you if this is what we're going to do. And I was like, talk about shark music, right? I'm like, oh, why? Sorry. She, no, I don't. I don't have any talents. And I'm not going to sit here for 2 days. And no, I was like, oh, okay. But it was like really, really uncomfortable for her to acknowledge that she had a talent. And so just, I share that with you to let you know that some people have never thought about what is good about them. And so I try to explain what a talent is, what a habit is, what a resource, all of it in a positive way. And then, so they have a little worksheet that they have to make their list. And then there's a little group activity that you can do where people trade their gifts and contributions with each other. So if you are envious of somebody else's talent, you can steal theirs and make it your own. So that's another little quick atcha. All of that, the What You Can Control, the Kenny Rogers song, the Thrive, all of that is in our dashboard link on, as Nancy said, bullet number 4, a quick way to get from needs to identifying strengths. Okay. So this is a good time as any for me to stop talking for a minute. Let's take 5 minutes minimum and turn off your video if you want, or mute your line if you like, but take a minute right now and go to the dashboard or go to this blog and download. I'm going to go right now and upload the things that I said I would so they'd be there. If you need me, private chat with me, even though the chat's been kind of funny tonight. We got 5 minutes to kind of dig around and make your action plan. Then we'll come back, see what we've learned tonight and what your next steps are. So about 5 minutes. All right, guys, when you're ready, let's start making our way. I just about got my work ready. I want to show it to you to make sure I didn't forget anything. But we'll also go around the horn and see what you got on tap. So just so you guys can see my screen still. No, probably not. I got to start sharing again. Okay. So just FYI, when you reload your dashboard here in a moment, it's just doing it right now. I have put the Thrive activity, so you don't have to search for it, but thanks to those of you who found it. The up until now, June, that's for your friend. Sorry. Then the assets and opportunities. This is a matrix, Mel, that... let me just show you guys what it looks like. That if you're doing you want to do something with families during planning or transition meeting, if you're meeting with decision makers, if you want to do a start of a coaching session, if you're doing the assets and opportunities of students at the start of a course, if you're doing a program evaluation. And so there are questions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for each of those scenarios. Okay, so there's a matrix that are now on our dashboard, and then as well as a practice point, an old one that talks through assets and opportunities. I still can't find that grid, but that grid is only 1/11th of what's in this matrix. So everything is in this matrix. Okay. All right, let's go around the horn and if you'd like to, and share out. I'll stop sharing my screen so you can see each other. Put it in gallery view if I'm really big, and just so it's not speaker view. And I'm going to take some notes so that I can support you over time. Yeah, anybody wants to go first? Go.
Okay, Christy.
Okay, June.
I am going to do that up until now activity with my teacher. I'm also going to dig a little deeper into that that blog, kind of look at that book, maybe purchase it actually, and then
which book, June?
It was Charles Duhigg talked about a book in there, and I thought that might be good. And then the Yes Brain book.
I would start, yeah. If I spent my money, I would spend on the Yes Brain, and I would listen to the Jonathan Fields podcast with Charles.
Okay.
Before you buy the book. I enjoyed his interview far more than I enjoyed the book. And I have a copy of the book. If you want it, you can have my copy.
Okay. Well, I listened to the podcast. And it was really good.
Okay.
I enjoyed the podcast.
I did too. I didn't get through the book as much, but that was just me. So I was thinking if you had to pick a book, I would vote.
Well, with the Yes book first, the Yes Brain, No Brain book.
Yeah, Barb's like, yeah.
Yeah, read through that. I just want to dig deeper into that.
Yeah, and I think you'll like it because, like I said, each chapter, Tina and Dan talk about the adult's Yes Brain. So it's, even though you're going to love it for what you learn about child development, you'll love it from adult perspective. Okay. Who wants to go next?
I can go.
Okay.
So I just have to say I kind of loved everything about tonight. It was so exciting and lots of cool, so many cool things. So I'm actually starting, I'm teaching a master's class. And so I think I'm going to do the, triggering the positive emotional thing at the very beginning. I think that is, it's a teaming class actually, with families. So I think that will be a really good activity for them to start the course with and kind of see where they're all at and where they're going. So I'm excited about that. And also I have some teachers possibly in coaching relationships that I want to use it. So, and that Thrive activity I really liked too. And especially when you had someone that had such a strong response to that, it really made me just think the whole, especially how you do your PD and how so many of us are moving in our PD, it's like we're flipping PD. Teachers used to just show up and say, tell me, you're the expert, tell me. Yeah. And And it's really different now, or at least some people like you are trying to make it different. And that can be so hard.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for so long, as we've talked about. So, yeah, it's just, so that kind of excites me to see what kind of responses we get. My next question, which is totally off topic, but I'm just curious because we actually, I'm helping a DE consultant do a practice-based coaching training coming up in March. So mm-hmm. my question is, can we share some of your activities, your handouts? Are you
Absolutely.
Okay with that? Because I think
Always.
A lot of what you're talking about goes along well with practice-based coaching because you mm-hmm. start where the teacher mm-hmm. is and you build your action plan with them. And so some of these activities might be really nice for people to be aware of and build into their coaching practices yes. that it's not part of practice-based
coaching. No, I appreciate you asking, but everything is for use and reuse. Okay. So the whole Christy PF website is dedicated to give people doing PD activities that they can use and reuse, but anything on our dashboard is absolutely use and reuse.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yes. I always ask people just to like tell me their stories, you know, like what yeah. works, what doesn't. If you adapt it, then I want to learn it so that I can do it. Like Jill, like June did this fabulous activity about the four filters, and I was telling her about this fabulous activity. She's like, yeah, I made it. I was like, oh.
Oh, that's fabulous. Awesome.
Yay. And so I gave it to everybody in Wisconsin, just so you know, June.
That's awesome. Thank you, Christy.
All right, good. All right, Barb, you want to go next?
I feel a little disjointed today, just having been sort of involved in the beginning. But really, I have this opportunity that I'm meeting with Head Start later, yeah. either later this week or next week. And so I'm excited to do a little dreaming, but then also do some assets and opportunities okay. assessment with the people who are asking me to come and do the training.
Yes, yes.
So I'm the newbie on the block with providing trainings like this to, you know, I'm usually just a like in and out, here's autism, right? So I'm the expert that people have pulled in. But I really love the idea of really trying to target some of the things that you talked about tonight of like the rewards for them, which then really tied into me what we talked about last time of there were a few things, but the learning outcomes and things.
Yes,
and
I was thinking the same thing, Barb.
Yeah, and so talking about also, and the other thing I loved was the shift in words from the I never until now, which I'd love to kind of think more about that and capitalize on that, which is funny because you'll understand why when you're talking about that, and you said, when I was in the car, you said, what does that make you feel? And you know what, the word that came to mind, you'll laugh at me, curious.
Yeah.
Because it brings you from being frustrated into curious about tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, or curious about right now. What do you mean right now? It just shifts your mindset just to tad into that.
Yeah. Cool.
So anyway, that was kind of a lot of blah, blah.
No, it's good. It's there. Good. We only need like 6 hours together. That's all. Okay, good. No, and I love the idea of the assets and opportunities to go with a leadership team who's asking you to do PD. What is it that's their vision? What is it that they hope for? What is it that they want to accomplish versus just come in and teach us about autism or entertain the troops?
And really target what rewards Absolutely. Would be helpful for them.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Nancy.
Okay, well, I want to do it all. No.
All right, good girl.
But
nothing less.
I think I still need to dig in a little bit more on some of them, but I'm still reading the Yes Brain, and I'm trying to take notes and think about that as I read it, and I'll keep doing that. I do like the up until now statements and the comments that that allows people to think differently. But I also feel like, at least in my situation, a lot of our staff has gotten to very much in the no brain. And so how can I help them look at those strengths, help them identify what are their strengths, maybe a little differently than they've looked at them before, so that, and maybe it is through the assets and opportunities thing, so mm-hmm. that they realize that they can bring forth what they want to get out of this thing. And like Melanie said, I think in our realm as a public school program, there aren't enough coaches, there aren't enough trainers. So the practice-based coaching is just going to have to be a way to do it. And when we brought these things up, you can train your paras and they'll look at you like,
no way.
Oh, I can't. I don't know what to teach them, or I know what I want them to know, but I don't know how to teach them. And so, again, I think if they feel more strong about themselves and find their own strengths, that maybe they'll say, up until now, I didn't think I could teach my parents. And just build that trust in themselves and their colleagues that they have something to offer each other. That's where I see us needing to go. So.
Yeah, I love that. That's it. I was like, oh, I love that. Okay, good. All right, and I'll check in with Gail. She's on the road again with basketball to see what her actions are. And then Trudy was out in the somewheres of Texas, and we'll check in to see what hers are and check in with her this coming week as well. All right, girls, I've kept you longer, but as always, I'm super grateful for each of you and all the work you're doing. I've dubbed you my PD warrior princesses. I hope that wasn't demeaning. I just couldn't help myself. if there's anything else you need to post or clarify or track down, just let me know. I'll go back through my notes and back through the dashboard in the morning, and I'll post today's recording in case anybody needs a part of it. Okay?
Can I just say thank you really quickly? I won't be here next week, so I just want to thank everybody for being a part of this with me. So thank you. I will listen in after the fact, but thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Barb. It was nice to meet you.
Give you a little closure.
This needs to be like 8 weeks long.
That's all.
Yeah.
We do part two.
Yeah.
Just tell Jeannie to fund it.
Yes, I agree. I will tell her.
Okay. And for a few of our friends.
Yeah. I want to come.
Fabulous. All right. Good night, girls.
Night.
Thanks, Christy.
You're very welcome.